Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox with the Trent Knox Show, and this is the first solo episode of the Hard Knock Life with Trent Knox. Wow. To say the least, this episode just embodies so much of what I've learned over the past 5 years into one episode. And it's not going to be the full production, but it just showcases what I know and how I can pitch that to you as a audience member, as a listener, as a follower, whatever you want to call yourself. I don't give a shit. To be honest, you're my friend. You are a part of my community, and you can see the way that it gets done. And it's really transparent, at least from my perspective and the way I see it. I try to spell it out. My method of communication, my modality is to make it dumb it down. I mean, I'm dumb. And I'm trying to do the idiot's guide to whatever, you know, those yellow books, those yellow pages, everything in that regard. You know, I use that word way too much. I use that phrase too much, but I'm just trying to make it easy. And there is a step-by-step process now you have to do to make it happen, just like I have. And sometimes I'm inefficient in doing, but this is done. So enjoy the episode. I just rolled a dice, had to win the Audi. Back and go, little Joe. I just hit with 40. Grip, ripping on some grain. Swinging like I stole it. Shorty got the thighs, juicy as she broken. I just rolled a dice. Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox. Been a long time since I've done a solo episode, and I've got a lot to say. I wanted to jump in on this because I'm trying something new out, and don't hate me for this because it's not going to be highly successful out the gate. And this particular episode is going to be only in audio format. So there you go. And the reason why you're going to be maybe frustrated with me, and the reason why I think that, you know, I'm a little bit self-conscious about this episode is because I'm going to try and do some ad reads. And you don't have to sign up for any of the programs today, but maybe they'll help you out in the future. And you're going to see how I work through this newfound ability to sell products or services or sponsor things or get sponsorships, get partnerships, get sponsors, and basically do what I've been doing, what's on my resume of work since I graduated from high school in 2011. Yes, I said it. I graduated in 2011. So for those of you out there who are behaving like boomers, as the kids say these days, I am a young gun. I'm 26 years old. I'm 26 years young. And, I've lived a life. You know, I'm a little over a quarter way through my life, and it's been a kind of fun, wild ride. And, you know, things are becoming a little bit more clear as to what I'm doing and what my experiences add up to. What value does that bring to a potential client, potential investor, potential employer? And what do I do? I mean, it's becoming more clear to me what I do. I've built, this is the, I'm a four-time entrepreneur. First started off with Colorado Springs Young Thespians, which was a program conversion Facebook group thing, trying to get into business, not knowing what business was, doing the whole legal Zoom thing, really not understanding it, 22 years old or something like that, trying to figure it out and being lost. No formal business education, kind of following in the footsteps of my uncle Nicholas Delone. I'm adding a little bit of French to his name, but Nick Dillon. Shout out to Nick Dillon. He's not really on social media or anything like that, but he started a little business called Edwards Commercial Services, and it got me to some places, and you know, my business got me out of some places. But it's interesting, you know, business, it just, there's a romance that I have with business, and I think it's the reason why a lot of entrepreneurs stay in the game of business, is because you can get addicted. You can get addicted to doing things and watching them succeed, watching them fail. I love listening to the podcast This Week in Startups as the host. And I always forget the guy's name. I'm sorry for forgetting your name. I think it's Jason, something like that. Jason. And, you know, he's got his accelerator launch, and recent episode he was doing with one of the founders of Techstars. And just, I didn't know anything about this space of the accelerators, incubators, investors, angel investors. Nothing. I knew nothing about this when I began. Where my mind was at was I just graduated from the University of Hawaii with a degree in video production from the Academy of Creative Media and Digital Cinema and Digital Creative Media. And my mind was like, what am I supposed to do? Who am I? What do I mean? What work will I do? And you know, I kind of got jobs that the higher ups thought maybe I could do, but was that really what I was meant to do, or what my skills, my talents, my trades that I learned over the course of my life would be best applicable to? What should I do? You know, I thought that I would go into a sales position and that would convert into a production position, and it never really did. You know, until today, really, have I been able to communicate my skill set in production. And you kind of will see that throughout this podcast. And for some of you, it'll be like kind of a breath of fresh air to hear how I'm doing this. And it's unique, and it is with the Trent Knox flavor, of course, but it's interesting, and I'm kind of bouncing around, but that's just what I do. And it's the way that I like to communicate my message, because I like it organic. I don't like the scripted nature to my conversations or what I'm doing. Unless I'm kind of really, really, really interviewing a guest. But, you know, conversations happen like this when, you know, you're hanging out with your friends, sitting on the couch. You guys just, I mean, it depends whether you're consuming or imbibing in some of the finer things. But you can just talk about random subjects, and you can talk about, you know, cool things that are happening in your day-to-day life. But let's go back to what I was talking about a little bit. So, you know, my first business, Colorado Springs Young Thespians, was a trial run to see if I could do anything into it. And, you know, I wish it had been more of a nonprofit as it was intended to be, more of a community or like a community service or organization, or even I just didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't necessarily trying to make it into a thing. Like, I wasn't trying to earn money from it or anything like that. I was just trying to organize the events, the structure, everything included into it, and make it into something where it was kind of just a here and there go by the wayside organization. And it very well could have been a lot bigger. Anyway, so it went to the, you know, it didn't become what it could have been. So I ended up driving for Lyft, and after going through a pretty traumatic experience working in television and radio and having some crazy stuff happen, but driving for Lyft and drove for Lyft for quite some time and enjoyed it. I really, really did enjoy it. And it is probably the reason why I do podcasts today, because every single passenger was a potential podcast guest. They all had extremely unique stories. Every story was different. Coming from here, going from there, being from here, being from there, doing this, doing that. The stories were always different, and sometimes they were dangerous stories. Sometimes I didn't want to be in the vehicle with them. And you hear the stories of passengers attacking the drivers, and I had very close situations with that. And it's a complicated scenario when you have clients that, for better or worse, they're not taking care of themselves. And a lot of the times, the passengers were inebriated, and you know, that's the horrendous videos we see online of drivers, passengers getting attacked due to the passengers' inhibitions. And that's unfortunate, you know. So, you know, I've experienced some of that stuff, but all in all, positive experience for Lyft. And it never got to the level of what you see on some of these YouTube videos, but geez, it's tough. But anyway, I digress. Next, you know, I moved on into some sales positions, into some labor positions, working for car washes, working for sales organizations, mowing lawns. I did the gamut of it. And, you know, I was able to partner with a couple of different creative people and start a little something called Austin Live and Local. And Austin Live and Local was fun. It is fun still. And, you know, we did about 3 seasons of a podcast on Austin Live and Local through the Live from the ATX show. And it really built the foundation for a lot of the things I'm doing today. The experience that Chris Tooten, Robert, and I'm forgetting Robert's last name right now, Sebastian Thomas, Brian Kern, Chris, so many different guests. But those were the 4 that are pretty much mainstays. I mean, obviously you got Doug Allison and Caesar, I forget, OGP Caesar. Who were there during the second season and whatnot, and some of the events that we did, and the whole crew that went into the hideout event back in November of 2017. It's so interesting to think back on these projects and really reminisce. But I want to get into this a little bit more depth once we come back from the messages from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Postmates Fleet. Turn your free time into earnings with Postmates Fleet app. Deliver goods from local merchants to customers, no schedules, no offices, just you and the open road. You can drive, bike, scoot, or walk. Earn on your own schedule. It's free to sign up and fast to get started. There are no fees or time commitments, so you take home 100% of what you earn every time you complete a delivery. And if you know anything about Trent Knox, the Trent Knox Show, Trent Knox Podcast, Trent Knox Productions, all of the things that I do, I drove for Postmates Fleet for a little over a year and a half and really, really enjoyed it. And if my living situation, everything were back where it was, where I had a vehicle to drive and I was able to get back into the city easily, and I had known all of the great resources that Postmates Fleet has to offer, I'd be back on the street hustling and doing those deliveries now. And you can actually go to my YouTube channel and look at a lot of the tutorial videos that I have out to help you get started and be successful on Postmates Fleet. But once again, yeah, I've always been partnered with Postmates Fleet for a couple of years now. Since I started doing deliveries and now talking and being kind of a brand ambassador for Postmates, you can go to Postmates, postmates.trentknox.com, and you can sign up, get a bonus. And the bonus right now, I think, is $625 for your first 85 deliveries and get a nice little, I should say, guarantee for those 85 first deliveries. And so clear earnings, instant deposits. Most Postmates make $25+ an hour. You got to be working to make $25+ an hour, and earnings are deposited weekly on demand into your bank account. You can also do direct debit or other different functionalities. See how much you can earn after each delivery and exactly how much your earnings were calculated. Get free weekly deposits or cash out instantly anytime you want. All the tools you need. Sign up and we'll send you a free delivery bag and prepaid card so you can deliver food, drinks, retail, and more for anywhere in your city, literally. And I can't stress enough that right now Postmates Fleet is needed, because with the social distancing and shelter-in-place orders that we're all so confused about, it's important that we have these delivery couriers out there who have the means to be essential workers and out there grinding, putting in the work, and helping people get their deliveries. So once again, since we're partnered with them and I'm a brand ambassador, you can go to postmates.trentknox.com to get signed up today. $625 sign-up guarantee, 85 deliveries. Get started today. This episode is brought to you by Fuel Rewards Program. The Fuel Rewards Program, aka Fuel Rewards Network, is a free loyalty program that helps you save money on fuel at over 11,000 Shell stations nationwide. Fuel Rewards members with gold status save at least 5 cents a gallon on every fill up. You can earn additional fuel rewards saving when you shop, dine, book, travel, and more. Rewards are cumulative, and there's no limit to how much you can save. Rewards apply to any fill-up up to 20 gallons. So since we're partnering with them, if you go to fuelrewards.trentknox.com, you can get signed up. The app features tracking rewards balances and tier status, active offers, find ways to earn rewards, and locating nearby Shell stations. I just want to mention, if you're also a T-Mobile customer, with T-Mobile Tuesdays, you'll get an additional 10 cents added to your linked fuel rewards, and that can go a long way when you are in the delivery services business, gig economy. If you're doing a lot of vehicle traveling, commute, it can mean a lot. So I highly recommend signing up for this program. Again, 11,000 Shell stations, and the gold status of 5 cents of off every gallon of fuel that you fill up. And again, it's fuel rewards, all one word, FUELREWARDS.TrentKnox.com to get started today. This episode is brought to you by GetUpside. GetUpside is a platform that lets you shop as usual and earn cash back, but in a way that makes sure businesses earn too. Claim an offer and get the most value on gas, groceries, and restaurants. There's no limit to how much you can earn, and you can even use it with other coupons, discounts, and loyalty programs. We're not your average cashback app. This is a win-win for you and the store you're buying from. So buy what you need and feel good about it. When we're all better off, communities thrive. Since we're partnering with them, you can go to GetUpside.TrentKnox.com. Download the app and sign up today. I want to tell you guys how you can make this happen. You claim the offers through the app, pay as usual with any credit or debit card, either check in or snap or submit a photo of your receipt, cash out whenever you want. It's really that easy. But anything you need and earn real cash every time you shop. You can cash out whenever you want via PayPal, e-gift card, or check. And they partner with a lot of local businesses as well who want to win over with experiences that are personalized just for you. Here's a little sentiment that they have here. With GetUpside, you earn cash back on what you need so you can spend on what you love. Using tools similar to those that revolutionize online shopping, GetUpside personalizes every shopper's experience while they buy brick-and-mortar businesses. GetUpside's users can earn up to 2 to 3 times more cash back compared to any other app out there, and merchants are earning more profit than ever before. When shoppers get more value and businesses earn more profit, communities grow stronger. Again, since we're partnering with them, you can go to GetUpside.TrentKnox.com and get signed up today and start receiving that cash back. Get that money back in your account. Hey, welcome back. Thank you for listening to that. So, like I said, we're going to try out a little new structure and see how it works. But having just read those ads, I put them in a format to kind of, I want this to show sort of the ad journey of what I've been doing. You know, I spoke about Lyft and I spoke about doing courier services and gig economy work. And so I wanted to provide for my audience, my listeners, my viewers, the opportunities that I had to get where I'm at today. And this is sort of my structure, is that, you know, I want to offer you the Postmates, the fuel rewards, the get upsides that put together my business and my strategies as I worked and went along the way. But let's jump back into where we were. So Austin Live and Local was such a great learning experience. And in many ways, I wouldn't have been able to have done it without Brian Kern. And we're still talking about doing bigger things, you know, with Lost and Live and Local and Live from the ATX and shows like The Hideout. And again, let me reiterate, it was amazing to work with the crew. And thanks to Arash Sabier and Nicholas Williams and the whole bartending staff at the Gotham Room, we were able to put on a show and recoup the money that was, you know, fronted to us. I wouldn't call it fronted. I mean, the opportunity to put on a show in a venue that costs money to overhead, all of these things, and understanding the everything that goes into it, and recouping the bar, and getting some of the money back from the production to go towards the production of the show that we put on, and pay off the debt that we put into it, and you know, I was able to give pretty much the large portion of the proceeds, which were like $400 of them, a show to Brian so that he could go to California and spend time with his girlfriend and his mother and whatnot. And that's the type of guy I am. You can ask Brian about this. Like, I look out for the needs of the crew before myself. And I think that's important. I think that's an important quality in an entrepreneur. That's an important quality in a business owner, to be a servant to his employees, a servant to his customers, and understand that what we're doing as entrepreneurs, as content creators, as creatives, is serving an audience and doing our best to give them the resources that they need to better their lives and to be better people themselves. And anything that I do as far as ad reads or sponsorships or endorsements or investors in any sort of way, is my goal is to partner with organizations that offer, you know, more to their customers, more to their clients, more to their employees than they offer themselves. Obviously, you have to make a profit, and you have to, or even break even. But the best thing that can happen is that the experience that the person on the other end gets is positive, and that they can provide a testimonial to the success and positivity that comes from your sponsorships, ads, whatever, your products, your services, your solutions, your subscriptions, whatever it may be, that it's positive. It's a 5-star rating, you know. But it also is beneficial to hear that constructive criticism and feedback that says, hey, it could be done better if it was this way. Or as a customer, as a client, as a potential employee, as a potential customer, it could have been done better this way. This was frustrating to me because some constructive criticism that directs the producer, the distributor, the thought leader to do better, to communicate more effectively, more efficiently, and be an overall better person, and more resourceful to the community. But we had a lot. I had a lot going on. Austin Live and Local was at its peak when we went to DreamHack Austin 2018, and the whole crew, 10-man crew that went to DreamHack Austin and covered the convention and brought entertainment, and, you know, with Brian, with Doug, with Tyler Carter, better known as Ty C or Mr. T Cardster. Am I missing anyone? The whole crew of Dead 13, Jeremy Lammy, I just butchered my friend's name. So many different people to thank and appreciate. Daniel Liner and his crew when Constantine Media was in its heyday. And the great value that was brought to DreamHack Austin, and the amazing production that DreamHack put on with all of the influencers and content creators that had showed up there. Of course, it's in Austin, and Austin is unique in that way. Just powerful. It was real powerful. And, you know, beneficially, the relationship between my companies and DreamHack has always been positive. I mean, there's been constructive criticism from the audience. And as we, you know, try to create original content for my companies, which I'll dive in deeper to that later in this podcast, but with DreamHack creating original content on their platform to amplify their message of community and organization and the promotion and betterment of gaming, esports, cosplay, music, and just overall creativity. It's pretty amazing that they've been able to be open source, whereas a lot of other companies have closed the doors to diversity. And maybe that's controversial, because community, as it pertains to platforms, and I'm not trying to alienate anybody out there, but the franchise model has put people in a kind of a peculiar situation, because there aren't the NFLs, the Disneys in the gaming space. And even if there was, the NFL or Disney could acquire them, and it would be just another offshoot of those larger studios, larger productions, because there isn't anything organic or native to the gaming industry that has that sort of household brand recognition. And while we can name the Blizzards, the Tencents, and even Tencent, I think, is very industry driven, and you probably, you know, the average bear would probably just think of it as Riot. I mean, I shouldn't say the average bear, but the general consumer, the individual that isn't looking to make esports a career or gaming a career, but is, you know, working in a more traditional form of employment, and their lifestyle is casual gaming and leisure-based gaming, or gaming is related to them through their family and their children, and that's the way that they find entertainment and enjoyment. Not to say that working professionally in the space is not entertaining or fun, but it can be, there is a differentiation between professional and casual. And I think that's something that needs to be highlighted, but I digress. This is going down another rabbit hole. And I want to highlight that companies that do open source sort of platforms and are community oriented and driven to integrate with multiple different platforms, and not stay rigid or constrained to the box, I feel are more apt to being culturally and community supported, versus the ones that want to dictate who and what and when and where and censorship and all of these things. And these sort of conversations are not being only had within the esports and gaming world, but are also being had in the entertainment world at large, within film, art, music, podcasting, television, politics. It's just a human conversation that we're experiencing. And it'll always be the truth that the now conversation will be the pinnacle of thought. And that is just because as time goes on, we have a larger sample size to experiment from, and people will have different philosophical beliefs, and the analysis of psychology will change. And you'll hear people make assumptions or use their experiences to try and rationalize or make sense of what they're hearing, seeing, feeling, experiencing, going back to the word experience. But your senses can mislead you. And one foundational thing that I think, because of all of the random, dangerous, unique, risky things that have happened in my life that I have in my mind, is never go off of your first impression. Never go off of that first initial don't just go off of your intuition, because the intuition can lead you down the wrong path. The experiences that you've had in your life don't necessarily encompass all that can be or all that is true and correct and right. And that's the thing I think we are challenged with most right now, is that we're lying to ourselves. We're telling ourselves stories based off of experiences that we've had or we've seen peripherally by living vicariously through others. Whether that's the person you see on television, the influencer you see on social media, or the authors to which wrote the textbooks that teachers profess to you through your adolescence to your developing young adult experience to your career and being a member of society. And a lot of people are beginning to have the conversation on a public platform. And this has been, maybe it's just the what's popular now and what's the trend and what are keywords and how do you stay popular within search engine optimization and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. But the conversation of life being gamified and being like a game and having to have a strategy to be successful is more true than ever. You know, there are certain metrics, certain achievements that people can be rewarded or gained by doing or saying the right thing. And unfortunately, there are gatekeepers out there that are creating this censorship. And, you know, I talk with my, and I laugh at this because it's going to be a metaphor. I talk with Brian, I talk with Knives, I talk with, you know, members of the podcast community in Austin, and some, you know, abroad and in other states, that, you know, we do something very interesting, and I do this quite often, where I'll be, and I don't remember where I first heard this term, and someone else coined it, of course, but doing mental jujitsu, where we use words to one up each other, and we want to get out of the guard, get past the guard. And we want to get into a position to work on the submission and use words to get there and put people in a position where they're tapping out because they don't have the linguistics, the vocabulary, or the foundation in their belief system to communicate and send out a positive message. And I constantly, this is something that I don't laugh about this, because my message is sometimes painted in a negative context, because they hear me criticizing the way people who sell fake positivity sell positivity, where I'm like, you have to put in the hard work. There's no shortcuts, and you have to be critical of yourself in order to truly be positive for the community. You know, you can't be a snake oil salesman going around providing things that are what's popular now, because what's popular now can be artificial, contrived, blown up, not real, just a great marketing scheme for people to just exploit their community. And I just recently had a debate about this on a Facebook group, and now I'm looking at myself. I know this to be the fact is that's corny. It's a cliche that on Facebook these sorts of conversations occur. And, you know, I was in a group that I am in a group still, which kind of explains this story. Okay, gotcha. My grandmother just stepped in to tell me she wanted to hear me ad break real quick. So I'm just going to take an ad break real quick so I can talk with her. Congratulations to my cousin Madison. She's graduating today. They're doing this parade for high school. Unfortunately, with all the kids and whatnot, that they're going through this scenario and whatnot. But I'll be right back. Enjoy this second set of advertising and give me some feedback on my ad reads. This episode is brought to you by Chase Bank. Get a bonus of $200 Open a new Chase Total checking account and set up direct deposit. Plus, your friend gets a bonus too. That's me, Trent Knox. And you'll see my name at the top when you sign up with chase.trentknox.com. It'll say your friend Trenton has referred you. And then use this page to open an account online. Then both of us are rewarded. You can get a $0 monthly service fee plus all the product details when you connect a direct deposit of totally $500 or more to the account, or you maintain a balance of $1,500 or more in the account, or an average beginning day balance of $5,000 or more in a combination of those accounts and linked things. It's super easy to get started easy. Open account, complete qualifying activities, and receive the money in your account in 10 business days. So if you get ready to get started, go to chase.trentknox.com. Can't wait. This episode is brought to you by Stride. Stride is the free mileage and expense tracking tax app that helps you save thousands on your tax bill all year round. It automatically maximizes your mileage deductions, imports expenses, helps you find money saving write-offs, and makes filing a breeze. If you're ready to sign up for Stride Tax, go to Stride, STRIDE.TrentKnox.com. Stride is built and designed for people who work for themselves. Stride helps you discover business expenses you can claim as an independent worker and makes filing a breeze. Most people save $4,000 or more at tax time by using Stride Tax. The reason why I got signed up for Stride Tax was back at the beginning of 2018 now, and it was the easiest way to track the mileage that I was driving for food delivery services like Postmates, Instacart, DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, the gamut. And before that, I was even doing Lyft. And if I had this while I was driving Lyft and Uber, I would have been in a much different situation than I am today, because I remember back in 2015 and 2016 painstakingly going through all of those transactions and figuring out what was a business expense, what was a personal expense. And what I really like about Stride Tax is it automatically makes those differentiations for you. It takes the data that you have from your business checking account or your personal checking account through the app, and it shows you different categories that you can direct those expenses go into. And they use the very highly secure banking feature that all the banks use now, Plaid, and it makes things a breeze, like it says. And again, you can go to STRIDE.TrentKnox.com to take advantage of Stride. This episode is brought to you by Recoup.ai. Did you know that most Americans pay $450 every year in bank fees? Recoup gets you refunded. Recoup is one of the fastest growing financial advocacy apps in the US, and we've partnered with them to get you those refund fees back. You can go to recoup.trentknox.com to sign up today. Recoup's magical formula. With Recoup, safely connect to 16,000 banks, credit cards, brokerage, and student loan accounts in seconds. We find all your hidden financial fees and automatically file refund claims on your behalf. Sit back, let us do all the work. Then if your financial institution decides to give you a courtesy refund, our modest fee is 25% of your refund. Earn only if we are successful. When you use Recoup, you'll never earn so much by doing so little. So again, since we partnered with them, you can go to recoup.trentknox.com to get started today. Hey, welcome back. This is just so funny, and I'm gonna jump right into it. It's so funny the way our world communicates and just how the language, the like cohesive macro language of our world is fits together like a puzzle piece. And I'm able to paint this picture with words if you can vibe and track with me. I'm rapping right now, and I'm in rhyme, I'm in rhythm, we're all in rhythm, and we're dancing through the world, and we've got music, and we've got art, and we have, you know, visual, sound, all these different senses, and we are all using them in ways to communicate messages. And it's just so funny that sometimes it comes out in kind of a sing-songy way. And maybe that rhythm you don't communicate in that rhythm, or you're not in that vortex. And that's so funny to me, because if you're a conspiracy theorist and you really dive really down deep into the conspiracy theories and whatnot, and you really versed in it, then you comprehend the vortex theory and being in that space where you're just so, you've done it, you've gone through all the trials and tribulations, and you've been blind, you've heard, you've worked with just these certain senses, and your senses are building up, and you get better as you get older, of course, and you get more refined, and you know that you see certain characters that you know, I don't want to go down the politics route really right now, but you see certain individuals that are elders that really have a good grasp of their senses and their presence in reality and online, offline, and they communicate effectively. They're good at doing things. I mean, obviously, when you think of a rapper, you think of Eminem. But when you think of people that communicate effectively, you think of Howard Stern's. And everyone is going to have their naysayers, but it's interesting. It's really interesting. The people out there who know how to put together a production, you know, are the ones that are capable of communicating at scale, you know, to the macro audience, mass communications. And I've learned some of these tricks, some of these trades and tips and all these different things. But, you know, for me, I'm always kind of laughing at it. It's a ha-ha to me because it's corny. It's trite. It's silly. It's these things like that, you know, people will poo-poo or call you a name, you know, any name in the book. Just throw it at me, you know, call me an exploitive or whatever, you know. And it's just funny, and the intention of this is to provide good, valuable resources, and that's always what I've been. And the people who know me well know that I do this with the best of intentions, and my purpose in life is not to make it anyone in the world less successful outside of the nefarious characters that are, you know, out there, that their goal is to make other people suffer, which is not my goal. My goal is not to depreciate anyone's quality of life. And so I guess going back into the conversation before we went to the ad break was talking about the debate that I had on Facebook groups. There's a conversation that's being had on Facebook from the two different proponents of negativity and the depreciation of living conditions, I should say, or social constructions. I don't know. Now, I'm not an advocate for the belittlement or the bigotry that happens against the disenfranchised, but I'm also not a proponent of ignorance within marginalized groups. So it's, you don't fight fire with fire, and you don't throw stones at a brick house. Like it's like I comprehend slowly working and maybe this or maybe that, but let's be honest, practicality is going to work over magic or tricks and whatnot. And that at the end of the day, it matters what your ethics and values and morals are ultimately. And so when I get into a debate on Facebook and out the gate, here's the complication. There's anonymity still on Facebook in the sense that anyone can portray a sort of imagery, and the authenticity of it is not necessarily validated by a blue check mark. Some things just go under the wayside. Now, this debate was not between somebody who's validated in that way, but they are culturally validated to some degree if the debate were on a public, were on a stage much larger. Because the imagery, if it were posted at scale, would seem as though I was it could be. Now, I have arguments, you know, that could put this in a different context, but it would seem as though the meme of women are all queen would defeat the male bigot archetype that I guess someone may derive from the fact that I'm Trent Knox, male, single, from the United States, wearing a cowboy hat, you know, and whatever preconceived notion that someone may or may have from the imagery that I post, and not knowing the way that I communicate and my beliefs, my values, my morals, my ethics. Now, when I'm in a debate and I'm arguing for positivity versus negativity, and I know that I've been in this situation with where the other person on the other side, the one who's leading the accusations, the one who is inciting the conflict by addressing a subject that they feel they're being wronged about it. And this goes back to not knowing the language and vocabulary when contacting law enforcement or contacting the police, or knowing where you are, what position you're in, and your rights, and not only your rights, but what's the perspective? What are the eyeballs? How are you being perceived? And without the ability to communicate, and if you ineffectively communicate or under communicate, then you can be swept under by the oppressive nature of systems. Systems are designed to categorize things. So back to the debate on Facebook groups, this was particularly about self-promotion, business promotion. An individual, a female character, a female avatar, decides to post in a public Facebook group. There are rules within this public Facebook group against harassment, against self-promotion, against inciting conflicts, all of these reasons. But at the overall purpose of this Facebook group, which is not mine, by the way, so while these sentiments may be congruent with my Facebook groups, this is another Facebook group that I am a new member, a new participant in. I'm not sure the tenure or what they had within this Facebook group. And I can already kind of, and I laugh because I can anticipate someone listening to this and realizing the absurdity of describing something so frivolous as a Facebook group in this way. And the reality is Facebook is the largest media group, bigger than NBC, bigger than ABC, bigger than all these things. Why do you think those organizations are on that platform? And so these sort of conversations happen within community, and this was the community that I was having this debate in. And I've had this debate before and lost it without the proper vocabulary and the proper linguistics to be able to shed light to the darkness that they consider light. And that's a bar right there. Shed light on the darkness that they consider light. And there's this empowerment of women that women are never wrong. And that when you say something like, I don't mean to be this, but I'm going to say this thing and say sorry, but I'm not really sorry. And then say, I said, I'm not really sorry, but I'm not really sorry. And think that indicates something contrary to the reality of the intention to do harm. So it's interesting how regardless of the gender, regardless of the person, when an individual goes into a community organization and their goal is to exploit the audience and provide no return value, but drawing the audience off the current platform, and not in a way that integrates the audience back into the platform that the advertisement is being placed on. And this is something that I think Robert Gardner and I communicated regularly about when we talked about massage entrepreneurs as a group, was that the posts that were approved on the massage entrepreneurs group both brought a intrinsic value to the group, but drew back whatever advertising, promotion, marketing that was driven to the group. So when a member decided to pursue the advertiser would in turn provide value within the advertisement posts, whether it be discounts, whether it be education through the post, the visuals, the audio, the copy, the picture, whatever it was bringing engagement, bringing reactions, bringing value into the group. Now, when I'm engaging with other Facebook groups, due to my experience within that large Facebook group where I was helping manage aspects of that group, in addition to my own groups, Austin Live and Local, Esports Business Network, those are the two groups primarily, and I focus on the pages to some degree. But I was in this group. It's an advertising group for Discord servers. This individual didn't read or understand the context of collaboration and the purpose of promoting the links within this group. So I see that she's posted, but I see that a lot of other people have posted and they comprehend what the purpose of the group is. And I comment, and on top of that, I provide engagement to her post, which would drive traffic to the group, which drives traffic to her post. And the only reason why I engaged in this debate was to drive traffic and to drive engagement to the group, ranking the group higher on the search engine optimization of Facebook. But it is individuals that don't comprehend social media management, social media marketing, that don't comprehend the purpose of social media and advertising on a platform that is digital-based and digital, I should say, if you comprehend the flow, what's going on. And so there are individuals who are kind of just, you know, wading in the pool, that never have gone down into the deep end. They don't understand how to doggy paddle, swim, whatever it may be that's complicating their ability to get to somewhere. And so they're just throwing shit on the wall. But it's a two-way engagement. And so what happened was this individual decided to throw something up on the wall and then initiate a conflict with me as I was providing value to the group, not necessarily directly to her. The engagement with her would be once the individual was ready as a member of a group to be a part of the community. But clearly her issue, her comprehension was, this is a self-ish advertisement. I'm not looking to be a member of other organizations. I'm not looking to be a collaborator. I'm looking to selfishly promote my organization through this organization, and I don't want to be a member of yours or this community, but the audience is there to exploit. And this is so frustrating because in my experience, this is how women behave. And I want to highlight the women out there that are true entrepreneurs and understand the collaborative nature of the world. There are those out there, and I shout them out all the time. You know, I shout out Laura Luther with Elevate Events. Rebecca Sounds Reveille. I always forget her last name. That's up. And these are more mature adult women, and you know, women in my generation, the millennials, it's hard to stamp them with maturity. Even if they have position of authority, they don't necessarily have maturity. And it's ironic, you know, it's hard as, regardless of gender, it's difficult to be mature because it's challenging. You both have to hold the respect, but you also have to have integrity and experience. You have to have gone through the trial by fire to be mature, because you have to be challenged by immaturity to be mature. You have to comprehend what is immaturity, what is trolling, what angles can my message be misconstrued in? What? And there will always be the, I know you are, but what am I attitude, the mimicking, the reflecting, the refracting, the mirroring, behaviors that occur within those that I know. I hate talking about this, you know, and I hate doing this because I really hate saying this, but people on the spectrum, people who have that have cognizant doctors that are capable of actually diagnosing a mental disparity, like, and it's such nonsense. It's garbage. The medical, the psychiatric industry, the way that you financially benefit from diagnoses and prescribing medication, and it's disgusting. It's gross that, you know, it's not psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, their goals are not to really provide accurate, their goals are hindered by politics. They're hindered by social constructs. Yeah, no worries. And so physicians, psychiatrists, all of these things can be led astray by their ignorance of society in the macro, because there are a lot of physicians, psychiatrists, whatever, that get complacent and secure and comfortable in running their community, their small community practices, but they don't pay attention or lose touch with the greater conversation of human psychology. And that's where, and let's not just say psychology, they're just disconnected from culture. It can become manipulative. And so ultimately the debate that I was having in this group was, and it's so familiar, of individuals without context or pretense being manipulative and trying to sway an audience away from the place that they originated from and not providing any sort of bridge back to the original location. And then through the optics that I'm looking at, thinking, then where you're taking them is a house of cards. It's a place that's gonna be, that's made of paper mache. It'll burn down and they'll have no bridge back to the land of Oz, the golden castle, the fortified fortress that the community that they built, I mean, the community that already was established. I play it more like Disney World, I guess. Or I play it a little bit more like, I play it more like Hawaii to the United States. I think that may be, may not be a good metaphor, because Hawaii is great though. I love Hawaii. There's just individuals, there are communities within Hawaii that they pretend to be something that they're not. And I never pretended to be anything. I didn't even, and I am in no way laying claim to anything other than the companies that I'm building today. And how original are those? I'm not exactly sure. We'll see. We will see how original those ideas are. And in perpetuity, we'll know. You know, I will keep on doing my best to develop my audience. And I don't expect it to be nothing more than an attraction. I don't expect it to be a house. I think that's where people get misled, is that their goals are to build a house. You know, their goals are to build a home for someone. But I didn't build the first home. I am, maybe individuals will find it to be a home, but I don't expect that. I have no expectations. I expect people to come and go as they please. And I am no way a jailer, and I'm not handcuffing. And I certainly am not are trying to choke anyone out except people that are trying to choke people out. I will choke individuals out. I'm not choking out groups unless it is clear that a group is choking out people and people can't breathe. So I've been through the gauntlet. I know what it is. I've been thrown on the pavement. I've felt the concrete crack my skull. I've been in that. I'm about that. You may not be about that. I'm about that life. And these aren't big words. You can go verify it in the streets. This episode is brought to you by G Suite. G Suite is a suite of cloud computing, productivity, and collaboration tools, software, and products developed by Google Cloud. First launched on August 28, 2006 as Google Apps for Your Domain, G Suite comprises Gmail, Hangouts, Calendar, and Currents for communication, Drive for storage, Docs, Sheets, Slides, Keep, Forms, and Sites for productivity and collaboration. And depending on the plan, an admin panel and a vault for managing users and the services. It also includes the digital interactive whiteboard, Jamboard, and the app development platform, AppMaker. I've been using G Suite for about 5 years now for a variety of my different businesses. And the reason why I chose G Suite over other cloud management tools things of the sort is because it offered me the ecosystem that I was familiar with online, such as Gmail. It allowed me to have a web builder such as Google Sites, and it allowed me unlimited access to Google Drive at the business level. And I highly recommend if you sign up for a subscription to get that program. And it has really worked out for me and has really been beneficial. So if you would like to sign up for G Suite, go to gsuite.trentknox.com and start today working towards building your business online. This episode is sponsored by Fiverr. Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services. Fiverr enables you to browse a selection of freelancers offering services and to place orders in just one click. A service offered on Fiverr is called a gig. Signing up for Fiverr is easy. You can go to fiverr.trentknox.com and start buying and selling on Fiverr. You can find the services you need by browsing the Fiverr catalog in different categories or by using Fiverr's search engine and filters to find a specific service or seller. Once you find a gig you like, click it for more information, such as a description of the services, portfolio, or samples of work and pricing. If you have specific questions, they recommend contacting the seller prior to ordering. When you found what you need, simply proceed to placing the order. Once again, to sign up to join Fiverr, go to fiverr.trentknox.com. That's fiverr.trentknox.com. Welcome back again. Thank you for sticking through this. This will be the last segment. Don't worry, I'll close this one out. That was heating up. And unfortunately, the recording situation, it stopped recording and cut it off, but it was heating up. And I'll just be honest, man. It's not aggressive in that nature. It's not defensive in that nature. It's not offense. It's not defense. What it is the game. It's the game. And I'm trying to put it out there for you to learn, and don't be afraid to go offline and go into nature and into community, into the society, and work and help people, even the people that are struggling. And unfortunately, you're going to get disconnect from people abruptly. And that's scary. That's scary because it doesn't give you the platform to respond. And that's a whole nother argument, or not argument, but a whole nother conflict that happened recently within Facebook groups. And I don't know what it is about Facebook groups, but man, if you're trying to grow as an individual and build a community yourself. And individuals who've made it happen or faking it till they make it or whatever, that have an authoritarian, dictatorial attitude about what is right and what is wrong, and maybe they get the wrong perception of what it is, and they, you know, limit or censor you. Unfortunately, this is my platform, baby. I'm gonna say what I gotta say, and if I accidentally censor myself, that's a whole nother matter. Like, for instance, like right now, I didn't go live. I didn't do video. If you know my platform, I always go live. Almost 100% of the time do live video. But this is a scenario where I was just like, I got to do this the way. And I'm developing some stuff. I'm putting some pieces together, but I've been working on this for a long time. And I know some people are going to be like, oh, this happened overnight. But no, there were some struggles. I'm telling you, some real struggles financially, emotionally, physically. Everything experienced, these lack of comprehension, no authority. And maybe to some degree, this is authority and authorship, but it's not packaged yet in a book format. It's not a track on a multi-million dollar album or an ebook or audiobook. It's a free to consume open source podcast, you know, and you can consume it on any platform. And that's what I am about. You know, earlier I shot out an ad for Restream, you know, and I'm shooting out an ad about Anchor right before this segment. And I'm talking about building business throughout this whole thing and being respected as a business, which is challenging in and of its own right. Because, and I'm going to tell you about this, and I've said about it earlier, there's a gamification to life. And to comprehend the systems and how to communicate and what the vocabulary means is its own thing. And maybe this is, you know, I'm not part of like, you know, I'm not part of secret societies, gangs, governments in this way. I am in no way the big brother or I am a big brother. Why am I saying that? But I am not the end all be all in any form or fashion. In fact, my little brother is bigger than me and will potentially be bigger than me if he takes these principles and applies them. I can't force anybody to do anything, but I can communicate what the principles are. I'm not ignorant. I'm not an idiot. There are idiots out there. Okay. There are, and I'm not the type of person that you have to come to me. I'll go to you. Like, I'll go to you and let you know. I'll learn you something. Let's do it. If you want it, you can make it happen. But you got to make it happen. You can't just sit around lollygagging and not get it done. Like, you can make it happen, you know? And I'm being boisterous about this and I'm being frank, but it's the reality. You got to make it happen. And I haven't always made it happen. Let's be honest. I'm not balling. I'm not out here driving Ferraris and throwing around cash and renting mansions and flying and traveling around the world yet, but I will. Guarantee that's something that's gonna paint the picture. And it doesn't always have to be that. It doesn't always have to be that. There's also, like I talked to Brian, like I talked to Knives, and shout out to both of their podcasts, is that lifestyle. It's lifestyle. It's not about the things. It's about experiencing what you can do with the things. And that's not, you don't have to be a woman or a man or anything to do that. I mean, obviously you can't go from one thing to another and have everything work the same. Not yet, at least. There's no transitioning genders and then going back to the original gender and going flip-flopping constantly and still possessing all the same attributes and physical characteristics. But you can exhibit that in VR. You can do that in augmented reality. It doesn't have the same zing to it, you know? But, you know, I'm just here cooking steaks, and I can cook a lot of steaks. I can cook steaks till the end of the day. You know, I could cook steaks all year long, in the right incubator, in the right environment, in the right culture, in the right scenario. You know, I just throw out different ways to say the same thing with vocabulary, and within the English language. And that's the complication there, is that I understand and I comprehend that my message is very niched in that regard. And my hope, and sometimes the way that I communicate, is that I do this so that the artificial intelligence automation would be, it'd be simple enough for it to comprehend the message and communicate it in written form or whatever form through automated captioning correction, and that you could listen to this in any format, in any language, and that the principles would ring true. The values, the ethics, the morals. I mean, obviously, in different areas of the world, the realities of the day-to-day is going to be different. You know, India is much different than Sweden. Sweden's much different than Mexico. And Mexico's much different than Korea. And all the way back around from Korea to the United States. But hopefully that message is true to it. Remove hierarchies and heredity. Yes, and religion and all of that, politics, and it just be the truth, and that there could be some, you know, fairy tales and some fiction to it, but that it rings true generally, and 99% of the time, that I score 100% of the time. That's the thing, you know. It's the Anchorman, Black Panther. Or I think it's Black Panther. I can't remember the fragrance, but 99% of the time, or 43% of the time, this attracts women 100% of the time, or whatever. However, that corny little line goes in the movie, but. I guess this whole podcast was really just to say that there's a lot going on. Stuff that's going on in Minneapolis, stuff that's going on in Los Angeles, the pandemic, social distancing, shelter in place orders, lockdown. We hear it. All of these sound bites and catchphrases and the mainstream media versus alternative media, the things. I'm on all of the things. You know, I am Trent Knox. This is the Trent Knox Show. I'm Trent Knox TV on a lot of a lot of the platforms. You can go in there and follow me. You can go to www.trentknox.com and see what I'm about. And if you're new to the audience or new listener, thank you for tuning in. And I think this is one of the best first impressions that you could get is bulky. All right. See you later. Oh, okay. My grandmother's on her way out of the house to go to the graduation. Again, Madison, happy graduation. Congratulations for all 2020 graduates on their way to the next stage in their lives. And I guess let's sum this up with the last thing. Two things, actually. If you want to be a contributor to this show, you can go to sub.trentknox.com, make a monthly contribution in that regard. You can also go to anchor.fm/TrentKnox/support and support this podcast directly. And last but not least, if you just want to make a straight donation, you go to paypal.me/ I don't want to say the wrong thing here, so give me a second while I check this out. I think it's paypal.me/TrentKnox TV. So that's going to be me. Or no, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Okay. Trent Knox Pro. That's right. So it's paypal.me/TrentKnox Pro. I don't know why I didn't do it the other way, but anyway, small contribution helps this production go further. Knock on wood that this doesn't, this production doesn't get shut down in the future. And we're able to continue doing this thing, baby. I'll catch you guys on the flip side.